This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Where did the federal workers go in the nation's capital? I'm David Brancaccio. If a goal of conservatives is to, the word is, shrink the federal government, it is showing up in the numbers, at least in Washington, D.C. We have new statistics this week on employment from the Labor Department. Turns out in 2023, D.C. ranked last when it comes to growth in federal government jobs, to the point that the number of D.C. federal workers went down. For years, there have been more federal workers outside the Capitol than in it, and that trend picked up during the pandemic. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has our report.
A couple of days ago, economist T.J. LaPutra was in his downtown Washington office at the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, crunching some numbers for me. I'd asked him to figure out what happened to the federal workforce in D.C. during the pandemic.
So from February 2020 to January 2024, federal government employment in the District of Columbia, D.C. proper, fell by 2%.
By comparison, over that same period, the number of federal employees nationwide actually grew by more than 4%. Tens of thousands of people still work for federal agencies based in D.C., but they really aren't in the office that much. There's no across-the-board order for everyone to sling on their lanyards and trudge back to the office full-time. Some agencies require their staff to be there in person when they're doing classified work. Others just want employees at their desks a couple days a week. LaPutra says his agency has been flexible.
Most of the time I have been working from home since the pandemic.
He's not the only one. The Government Accountability Office did a report on how many federal workers came into agency headquarters in D.C. during the first 3 months of 2023. It wasn't pretty. David Maroney was the lead author.
Most of the agencies were using less than a quarter of their building's space, and none were using more than 50%. So really, across the board, lots of empty offices.
Maroney says more than half of those agencies' leases will expire over the next 3 years. But until then, they're holding on to their empty offices, meaning the space can't be turned into revenue-generating hotels or apartments. Maroney was speaking to me from Atlanta, where the GAO has a field office. Now more than ever, you really don't have to live near Washington to work for the federal government. Yeshim Sayan is head of the D.C. Policy Center think tank.
A lot of people have moved out of the region because it's high cost, expensive, realizing that they can work for the federal government and not necessarily be in the region.
Sayan says the federal government has always been decentralized, with most federal workers outside D.C. The pandemic turbocharged that, which hurt the city's bottom line. Federal employees working remotely aren't going out to lunch or shopping downtown during their lunch breaks. People who might have taken the train downtown for a meeting at a government agency are Zooming instead. Sayan says the city is losing sales tax revenue from all those missed meetings and lunches.
That's affecting city revenues. That's affecting Metro.
Sayan estimates that federal workers spend an average of $167 per week when they're in D.C. And even if half of them were actually coming into the office, the city would still be out millions of dollars a year in sales taxes. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Doing your taxes is getting a lot more expensive. According to the Consumer Price Index that came out this week, the price of tax return prep is up 10% from last year using February numbers. Here's Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes.
One reason tax prep is more expensive, it can be harder to find someone to do it these days. UT Austin accounting professor Lisa DeSimone says fewer people are choosing to study it.
Accounting apparently is not as sexy to our college students today as it was maybe 50 years ago.
That means those tax preparers still doing the job can charge more, especially at the height of tax season.
They require a higher fee in order to agree to do the work because they're already working long hours.
Also, lots of taxpayers, both amateur and professional, rely on tax software. Amy Wall, a retired tax preparer in Tucson who now teaches tax prep, says that's been going up in cost. One reason? It has to be updated every time the tax law changes.
So now the software is changed constantly. So, of course, we've got very expensive programmers who are back there doing that.
Wall says there is some price shopping people can do to find the best rates, but she recommends doing that in the summertime, not a month before tax day. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
We come back to this long-running story from time to time. Who invented the cryptocurrency Bitcoin? It is said to be Satoshi Nakamoto, but that's a pseudonym, so who is it? An Australian computer scientist, Craig Wright, has claimed to be the guy, but a London judge says he's not the guy. The BBC's cyber correspondent Joe Tidy was there.
Mr. Justice Mellor took just a few seconds to rule that Wright was not the inventor of Bitcoin. It had been expected that the judge would take months to decide on this technically complex and at times tetchy 5-week trial, but he said the evidence was overwhelming. During the trial, Dr. Wright was accused of carrying out a massive campaign of dishonesty and forgery in the years since he claimed to be Bitcoin's inventor. It was in 2016 that the Australian computer scientist outed himself as the elusive Satoshi Nakamoto, the online user who created and launched Bitcoin on the internet in 2008. Dr. Wright invited the BBC to a demonstration to prove it. But it wasn't long before his claims were questioned, and since then doubt has spread that he is Satoshi. He's been in and out of court multiple times, filing legal challenges against anyone who questions his story. This High Court case, brought by Copper, a group of Bitcoin-based businesses, appears to have put his case to bed. But the mystery of who invented Bitcoin, which has surged in value during the trial, continues.
Joe Tidy is cyber correspondent with our newsroom partners at the BBC. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.